tour of the Proverbs this morning, and we're making our way through the Old Testament. We've done our best to cover diligently the Psalms, beginning in the Proverbs now, and the theme of the Proverbs is wisdom, if you had to talk about a basic theme for the Proverbs. But let's begin with Proverbs chapter 1 and use a text here in Solomon's explanation for the Proverbs, and then we'll set that up this morning in a discussion about the book itself and the definition of wisdom and what our purposes are in pursuing this this book. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2, would you say, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God praise and thanks for his word today that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. No, let's give him high praise for his word. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that's forever settled. We thank you for the privilege of handling your word and knowing your word. We lift you up and magnify your name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. Brother Cedric said he had a Bible study student come and get a Bible study chart last night, just getting... Brother Kedrick's just getting cranked up in the kingdom of God, but he's ready and he wants to teach. He wants to open up the word of God to somebody. You say, well, is he qualified? Well, I'll just tell you, Kedrick, everybody learns by being taught, but they also learn by teaching. And the best part about this is if you're dealing with somebody outside the kingdom, you can't hurt them. They're already lost. All you're going to do is wave light and hope and revelation at them. But I believe anointing will come down on you and grace will cover you up. Praise God. Go ahead and teach, man. Praise God. Well, praise God. I got an email last night from a couple that's teaching their first Bible study, and they're excited about it. They're taking turns. One teaches 1 week, and the husband teaches 1 week. The wife teaches the next week, and it's pretty exciting. And I'll just tell you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Been doing this for a long, long time. And right now, I'm more excited about the Bible studies that I'm teaching than I was when 30 years ago I first started teaching Bible studies. Well, praise God. It's not just that it's a better class or they're better students. It's just that every time you sit down with the Word of God, it's fresh bread. God opens it. There's nothing like the moment. I mean, we sing about heaven, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like the moment. We sing about the old times and what God did, but there's nothing like the moment. This is the very best moment in the kingdom of God right now. You need to get that. You need to learn that. These are the good old days. This is it. You got to learn how to live for God right now. John was on Patmos for the word of God on a prison island, sent there to die. And John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. The demons and the devils were gathered around in a council saying, we're just not getting to this guy. We're just not making any headway with this guy. We've got him on a prison island. We've taken him away from the church. He's supposed to die here, and he's been working for God. You would think he'd be bitter, but he's in the spirit on the Lord's day. And in that moment, everybody say that moment. in that unlikely moment, God opened up the heavens to him, and we're still rejoicing over the blessing of the revelation that God gave John. What could God show you in this moment if you could plug into the fact that God is ready now? God is here now. God is God right now. Bigger than your trouble. I'm going to try to go to the Proverbs today. But he's bigger than your trouble. Bigger than the resistance. Bigger than all those things that are come against you. And if you can just, with a laser focus, get your mind trained in on the Word of God. The Word of God has something for you. Right now. I don't care the disaster nor the problem. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. The book of Proverbs is attributed to Solomon, and it is almost all his work, but there are also writers like Agur and also Lemuel, King Lemuel, and these works were compiled by the associates of Hezekiah, like 300 years after the time of Solomon. But Solomon was profoundly wise and very prolific in producing Proverbs and wise and pithy sayings, and they were compiled in the days of Hezekiah, and that's what we have today. But we attribute them in a general sense to the man Solomon. And the Proverbs are characterized by wisdom and knowledge and understanding, principally a discussion of wisdom and how wisdom affects your immediate life circumstances. And these Proverbs are so profoundly classical in their truth that they were relevant to the days of Solomon 3,000 years ago, and they are relevant to our present day circumstances, because life and people don't change that much from culture to culture. And in regard to their place along the timeline. This morning we'll talk about the definition of wisdom and the origin of wisdom and wisdom's application in life. And anybody in the house, after having read those first seven verses of the Proverbs, anybody in the house want to get on record saying that you would like more understanding and knowledge? You would like to understand a little better the people around you and the job you're doing and your position in the kingdom of God? You'd like to walk with a little greater alacrity, and you'd like to have a little better position in life based on your wisdom? Well, God's able to grant you wisdom, and we're gonna take a look at that today, the definition of it. Well, I want to begin with Solomon's own experience, and we've already read the first chapter and his purpose for these Proverbs: to know wisdom, to know instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction and wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, knowledge to the young man, and discretion. And he says, if you're a wise man, you'll hear. So you can begin being wise. Now you got to watch this. Now, wisdom is like love and faith. It's more about what you do than what you know or what you feel. Truth is something you do, according to Jesus Christ. They that do the truth come unto the light. And so a wise man will hear. You can utilize that one passage right there. Begin to hear, and you're wiser by degrees already, just by listening. And will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The purpose of this is to understand a proverb and to understand the interpretation and to understand the words of the wise and their dark or maybe inscrutable sayings, and to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the entire journey. Praise God. So we'll begin with 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And we'll begin with Solomon's own experience with God. Solomon had been handed the throne of Israel. It was during the time of the United Kingdom. And Solomon is following in the footsteps of King David. And he is now king of Israel. And before all the trouble comes, all of their enemies are conquered. The coffers are full of silver and gold. And Solomon is set at the pinnacle of Israel's history. And God comes to him and makes him an incredible offer. Chapter 1, 2 Chronicles, verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. What an incredible encounter. If God would come to you tonight and say, what can I do for you? What could I give you? What could I change? What could I add to you? What can I give you? If God would come and make you that offer tonight. Solomon, I think, had a head start in wisdom. Verse 8, and Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David, my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David, my father, be established, because God had said, I'm going to establish the throne of David forever. And David is, in fact, the beginning of the throne of the Christ. So Bartimaeus cries out on the roadside, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so he is projected into eternity by Jesus Christ. Let the promise unto David, my father, be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now watch what he asked for. He could have asked for gold. He could have asked for conquering power. He could have asked for anything in the world. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Now God was impressed with this encounter. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches or wealth or honor nor life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. So now we learn first something about wisdom and knowledge, that it comes from God, and that it, like holiness, like anointing, like a lot of things that are the particular property of God, can be imputed unto mankind. God said, I'm going to give you wisdom. It has nothing to do with his natural or native IQ. Has nothing to do with his native capacity. Simply the fact that God is able to make a burning bush and a piece of real estate holy. God is able to make a man wise. Wisdom comes from God. It doesn't, I'm just telling you right now, you can have a lot of knowledge but not be wise. You can learn forever and never come to a place of wisdom. But God said, I'm going to give you now wisdom. And I'll give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. He said, because you asked for wisdom and knowledge instead of the riches, I'm going to give you the wisdom and knowledge, and I'm going to give you the riches and the honor and all of the things that the world is seeking after. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so then wisdom becomes the principal thing. I understand this conversation. You may need something in the natural, but if you'll pursue wisdom, the thing in the natural is going to come along. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yeah, but Brother Sutton, I've got a problem in my life right now. I need God to address my problem. You don't get it. Approach God. Come before God. Seek after the kingdom of God. Look for the wisdom of God and those difficulties and those problems in your life. Just by your coming to God, God will begin to address those things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In chapter 9 in 1 Chronicles and beginning in verse 3, Solomon's encounter with the Queen of Sheba. Now Sheba comes and she's a queen and she's wealthy and she's seen royalty. But she's heard about Solomon and she's heard about his kingdom and she wants to know about all that. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, the cupbearers, their apparel, his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. It all begins with wisdom. Would you say it begins with wisdom? When she saw the wisdom of Solomon, and all the other stuff came with the wisdom of Solomon. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard of mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants. Happiness comes with wisdom, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee." Your wisdom and your activity in wise ways brings glory to God. "Blessed be the Lord God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he king over them to do judgment and justice." Someone say praise the Lord. And down in verse 22, "And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom." And he got it not by being David's seed, because there will be a long train of men who are directly tied to the seed of David. But not all of them are great. Not all of them are honorable. They don't all win victories. Some of them die young. Many of them go into the oppression of the peoples around them. Some of them have their coffers looted. They lose what was stockpiled in the days of David and the days of Solomon. Just being genetically connected was not a guarantee. But wisdom was the principal thing. He sought after it, he received it, and it transformed his reign into the greatest moment in Israel's history. Praise the Lord. And so wisdom is to be sought after, and wisdom is the platform by which everything else issues forth. It comes from God, it pleases God, and it's the principal thing that we need to seek after. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, when we begin to do a study of the Proverbs, we find that wisdom is associated with character traits and personal practices, and wisdom is displayed by behavior and by activity. It's associated with, in the Proverbs, it's associated with ethical business practices. If you're unethical in business or unethical in life, that is not wise. But if you'll practice the wisdom of God, you won't have to be unethical. The blessing of God will come upon you in what you do. Wisdom in Proverbs is associated with skillful work, having the training and being diligent in your work. It's associated with hard work. Everybody say hard work. Now, yeah, see, I told you, it is a strange convergence here when you're worn out in your body, and we're not in the Psalms now. We're not going to be wearing our tennis shoes to church tonight to celebrate Psalms 149 and to tie up his nobles and his kings in fetters of iron and shout and play the tambourines. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about hard work. Because wisdom is associated with hard work. Foolishness is associated with being a sluggard or a lazy person. Praise God. Wisdom in the Proverbs is associated with discipline, personal discipline, family, and discipline of the household. It's associated with giving and receiving advice, being someone who is a valued resource to others, and having the capacity to sit and to listen to someone else. I mean, truly listen to someone else, not be formulating your rebuttal while they're speaking, but to completely open your heart and your mind and to first hear and then to be heard. Sounds like Stephen Covey might have read the Bible at some point. Terms associated with wisdom in the Proverbs: planning, good planning, scheduling, and planning. Say, "Well, Brother Sutton, we'd like to have revival on Sunday morning." Well, son, let me tell you something. Without hard work and planning, you can't have revival. And you can't sustain revival. And without listening and giving sound advice, you can't have revival. And you won't sustain revival. Well, praise the Lord. Proverbs discusses wisdom in terms of effective relationships and interaction. The wisdom of Proverbs is demonstrated in relationships. It is wisdom that crafts a sound relationship. It is foolishness and short-sightedness that undermines for personal fears or personal gain the quality of the relationships around you. And so the attaining of wisdom will grant you the capacity to build sound and enduring relationships in your life. This is something I want in my life. Well, praise God. The world is not interested in anything except superficiality. It's not interested in long-term committed relationships, but I am. I've seen enough of life to know if I can find a friend that's a true friend, I've found a fortune. If I can find a wife who will love me all the way through the journey of life, I've found something that's worth more than gold. It takes a little while to appreciate wisdom. It doesn't naturally come with age, because you can be old and stupid. Old and lazy, old and bitter. But my God, I want to drink from the fountain of God's wisdom. I want to have the good things that God has to offer here. Wisdom is associated with truthfulness and wise speech. Matters what you say. And we're just kind of handling it. And as we go, what we'll do is we'll divide up the book of Proverbs in topics rather than go through verse by verse as we have with a lot of the other books. But we're going to deal with it by topics. What is wisdom? Some say it's the meaning of life or the meaning in life. Some would say it's the way to success. Others, the discovery of creation and conformity to that creation. Could be an understanding of reality or a capacity to find significance in life. And you can look around you and understand that our world is not very wise. Our world, the apostle makes a delineation between godly wisdom and a wisdom that is of this world. It is worldly and sensual and devilish. It's like that wisdom that came into the garden and seduced and abused Eve, who was innocent and who knew nothing at all. And that subtlety and that wisdom came in, but it wasn't good wisdom, and it didn't empower her, and it didn't add to her, and it didn't strengthen her, but it stole from her and it corrupted her and her seed forever. There is a wisdom that is taught in this world that is evil and sensual and devilish. But oh, we want that wisdom from on high. Wisdom is not just intelligence or the knowledge of facts, but it's having insight and the ability to navigate life successfully. The ability to avoid problems, and if you have problems, to deal with them effectively. The capacity to hear well, and to react appropriately. Wisdom is emotional intelligence. Wisdom is discretion, knowing when to speak and knowing when to refrain. It's the pursuit of things that are just and right and equitable. And at that point, we get off the train with the rest of the world. Because they have a value system that is totally different from ours. When you begin, and you can have this discussion in a business group, or you can have this discussion on a college campus. And until we get to this point right here, there's hardly anything that I've said. You'll find books in the bookstore today about the business practices of the wisdom of Solomon found in Proverbs. And they're taking biblical or classical truths and applying them to the workplace because they really do work. They endure and they really do work. But when we get to this point, when we say what is right and what is true and what is equitable, the world has a skewed view of that. The world believes in relativism. They believe that it's not necessarily good in all cases. It's not necessarily true in every instance. Or it's not necessarily equitable depending on where you are culturally in terms of time or what your situation is. And they preach a doctrine of situational ethics. But we don't draw our idea of right and truth and equity from the world, nor from our own situations or our needs, but we draw right from the Word of God, and we draw equity from the Word of God, and we understand truth by the Word of God. No, you need to hear this. You need to understand this. There's only one word that is right. There's only one way that is right. There's only one voice that is right. Equity. It's impossible to nail that down in a worldly discussion. But in the Word of God, God will tell you what is equitable. And what is truth only comes from the Word of God. And so the world's concept of wisdom, the world's concept of what is wise or what is profitable, even though they would take the very scripture itself and prostitute its use, not for the improvement and the sanctification of the man, but for the acquisition of wealth and the building up of a business. And you can do that with the Word of God to some degree. But at its end and in its true, in the heart of the matter, you can't really get close to the wisdom of God without making your way through the Word of God. You're not going to get this in a business class at the university. You're going to get this on your face in an altar with the Word of God, wet with your tears, calling out to God, saying, God, I've got some needs in my life. I need you to breathe into me, and I need you to make me a new man. You're going to find the wisdom of God that will change your life by the study of the Word of God. It won't be with a brass band. It might not be with a Sunday night shout. You may sit there taking copious notes like a good student, but it will revolutionize your life. And I'm way too affective right now. I need to keep this down below medium range. But I just get excited about it. We've been in revival mode so long, it's hard for me to settle down. Settle down. You don't know nothing, Reggie. You only had the Holy Ghost a week. Whatever's telling you settle down, you tell it shut up. Whatever's telling you settle down, you tell it go on out the back door. Not a day to settle down. When I say the Word of God is a source of wisdom, you go, whoa! Which being interpreted means I take ownership of that concept. That's right. That belongs to me. The wisdom of God is going to change my life. That's right. In the Vacation Bible School, when they'd make a point, the kids would go, wow! We kind of do that. You kind of sound like a cowboy there. Cowboy boots in a truck. I'm trying to get the vision. Got the boots and the truck. All right. Praise God. I want the wisdom of God. I don't get to go back and do life over again. I don't get to go back and from the perspective of distance and age and experience, I don't get to go back and undo what I wish I had done differently. Don't get that privilege. And you could choke on that. And you could have a pity fit on that. But you could stand in the moment and say, yeah, but I can drink of that cup of wisdom today. And whatever God's given me today, I can do it well and I can do it right. I don't know how many more opportunities I'll get, but today I want to do it wisely. Today I want to do it to the glory of God. Today I want to do what is going to be a blessing in my life and bring the power of God down on my house. Well, praise God. Praise God. So, praise God. Then the acquisition of wisdom we've already talked about, and the source of wisdom is very obviously God and the Word of God. Push your neighbor a little bit and just tell him wisdom comes from God. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 20. Proverbs 1 and 20. Would you say, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the opening of the gates. In the city. She uttereth her words. Saying, how long? You simple ones. Will you love simplicity? How long are you going to be satisfied with the visual and audio stimulation of Hollywood's current serving of moral depravity and all the hedonistic things they want to cram down? How long will you be satisfied with that? People all over this country sitting around the blue glow of the idol they have in their den or in their bedroom and watching. And you can drive by on the street and the little pulsing light tells you the worshipers are all gathered around and they're seeking to gain. But you know what? You can watch that for 20 years and come away actually having lost and not gained. You can come away inured and hardened and calloused rather than drawing close to anything of practical or moral use. Praise God. How long will you enjoy your simplicity? Wisdom's crying in the street. Will anybody draw close to God? Will anybody not just be satisfied with the superficial, but I really want to dig down and get a hold of the complex and the valuable and the authoritative and the powerful in the kingdom of God? Praise God. And the scorners, would you say, and the scorners delight in their scorning. Oh, there's nothing in that. There's nothing to that. There's no good thing. This is just the way it is. It is what it is. It just is. And bosses are evil and old ladies are old ladies. And old men are old men. And life is terrible. And scorners just love to scorn. Scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. And wisdom is crying in the street. Won't anybody listen? Won't anybody say, I want some of that. I want some of that divine impartation of what God has. I want my home to be stronger. I want my life to be of greater value. I want to have a greater impact in the things of the Spirit. I want God to come down and settle into these areas of weakness and problems in my life. I want God to take His hand and His control in those areas. Is there anybody in the house that can hear her calling today? And she's saying, turn you at my reproof, and behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. This is wisdom talking. And I'll make known my words unto you. If you'll turn, it's just coming to God from a little different perspective or a little different vantage point. He said, if you'll come to me, and he's talking as wisdom, I'll pour out my spirit upon you, and I'll make my words known unto you. I'll impart this to you. I know you may not have classical education, but God can breathe wisdom into you. I know you may be in your middle years, but it's not too late. God can breathe wisdom into you. I know you might have made a mess of a marriage or two, but it's not too late. The statistics say this next marriage will be worse and more brief than the ones before, but that's not necessarily so. If you'll come to God and let God breathe wisdom down, can anybody hear her crying in the streets today? Would you turn at my reproof? Would you come down to an altar and say, God, rain wisdom down on me. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Would you say, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom? And apply thine heart to understanding. It's like everything else in the kingdom of God. Let him that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Everybody's reach up there and shake your earlobe a little bit. Everybody's got those on the sides of their heads. Most everybody. Less tragedy has befallen you. You generally got that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the active pursuit of hearing. It's not passive, it's active. It's yes, I'm going to hear you. How many of you look at people, you're staring them right in the eyes, you're talking to them, but you see them glaze over. And you know they're gone, they're not in that conversation anymore. They've grown tired of what you were saying, or they've gone chasing a rabbit somewhere. Their pupils dilate. They're gone. They're not talking to you anymore. You're in the conversation all by yourself. You incline your ear to wisdom. It's like, I'm going to hear this. I'm going to hear this. I don't care how many times it takes. I'm going to hear this message. And apply your heart to understanding. There is this repetitive phrase throughout the scripture. Apply your heart to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. You've got it. This is work. This is diligence. This is proactivity. This is leaning into it. This is taking a hold of it and taking ownership of it and possessing it by force of will. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this in my life. Praise God. And so wisdom is calling you, and he speaks as a father to a son and says, I want you to incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Verse 3, would you say, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. The implication is here, if you'll cry to God for knowledge and wisdom and understanding, God's going to respond to you. Verse 4, would you say, if you seek her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. I want to know about, that's when you find that empty coffee cup and that open Bible where you were this morning before you went to work. That's when you find on the desk at the job that Bible open. And I know you only had a couple of minutes, but you wanted to ferret out one more piece of scripture. I tell you what, I'm really excited about some things I'm seeing around this church. I'm seeing a group of young married men that have gotten a revelation of study of the Word of God. It's not something you can induce. It's not something that you can force in somebody's life. But I'm coming around, I'm seeing little huddles of them, and they're talking about the things of God, and they're debating the finer points of theology, and they're wanting to know, my God. I'm thinking, it wasn't long ago their heartbeat was out on the basketball court. It wasn't long ago all they could talk about was golf or sporting or whatever. But now, my God, they're talking about the things of God. I'll come up on them in a moment when they're not thinking, and they'll have the Word of God in their hand. What is that about? That's somebody that's seeking her as silver and searching for her as hid treasure. It won't fall out the sky on you. I'm glad you're here on a Sunday morning, and that's a good beginning, but it won't happen to you just with a Sunday morning religion. I'm glad you're back on Sunday night, but you need a Bible study in your life, and you need to teach a Bible study in your life, and you ought to have a Bible with you in your car and on your job and on your desk. This is a trait peculiar to apostolics that I've seen in my experience in the kingdom of God. They've got that Bible everywhere they go. It's not their job. It's their passion. It's not their assignment. It's their heartbeat. Jesus said, search them, for they are those that testify of me. It's like, oh, I'm drawing closer to him. Ah, I can see him a little clearly. Oh, let me tell you what I found out about him today. Something I've walked a long time with him, but I've never seen this. It's like holding it up to a light, and it refracts a little bit differently every time I turn it. And isn't he beautiful? And isn't he wonderful? And look at him. Oh, look at how good he is. Look at how awesome. The world doesn't get that. The pagan can't appreciate that. The secularists, they don't care about that. But we're long gone. We're already over the edge. We've already lost our minds about this. I just want to see him a little more clearly.
David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. The apostle Paul said, I forgot all those things that are past, and this one thing I do. Anybody want to draw close to him? Praise God. Well, we want to have revival. Draw close to him. I want to have revival in my home. Draw close to him. I want to be more productive in my life. Draw close to him. I want my relationships to be stronger and better and more enduring. Draw close to him. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness. And all these things, they'll be added to you. Praise God. Then, verse 5, if you cry out for knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, you search for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, everybody say, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, we're going to see this in a little bit, but do you know that the house is built by wisdom and that it is founded or established by understanding, that it's filled with every precious gift by knowledge? These three things are the ticket to everything your heart desires. If you draw close to God for wisdom and understanding and knowledge, there is nothing that will be withheld from you in the Word of God. Praise God. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Life's going to be full. Every day you're going to have a tree in your garden. Every day you're going to have a choice to make. Maybe more than one. But he's going to acquaint you with every good path. You're going to have a fix on righteousness. You're going to have a clear vision of judgment. And when dealing with people, equity will be a part of your nature, every good path. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. Praise God. Praise God. I think we'll quit, because there's really no stopping place here till we get to the end of the book of Proverbs. So that's the good thing, and that's the bad thing too. But I think we'll quit right here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, Sheba came a long way to see Solomon and was breathless at what she saw and what she encountered. And he said, a greater than Solomon is here. I want you to know, in this house and in this word of God, a greater than Solomon is here. And the potential for what this God and his word can do in your life is just unimaginable. I'm talking to every life and every family. It doesn't matter where you came from, and it doesn't matter what status your life is in right now. The wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge of God can transform your life. Now, listen, let's stand together. Solomon received his connection with God's wisdom through prayer. And in this New Testament experience, drawing from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, there is the gift of wisdom. Praise God. So today, just collectively, why don't we all pray a prayer like Solomon? And some of you that already are filled with the Holy Ghost, after you've prayed that prayer and you understood what you said, then I want you to begin to let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer through you. And I want you to seek after that in the Holy Ghost. Because what you pray for in your understanding targets that prayer in the Spirit. And as you begin to pray in the Spirit, you'll be praying for that gift of wisdom, to have understanding breathed into you by God. Praise God. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost here today, while everybody else is praying, you can come down to the altar today and God can fill you with his Spirit today in this simple teaching session. God will fill you with his Spirit. And then you'll have an inside track to receiving every good promise that God. Let's all over the house right now. You may want to pray where you are. You may want to come down to the altar and say, God, I want that. I want that in my life. I want you, God, to fill me up with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. I want it in my house. I want it in my family. I want it in my ministry. Grant me, God. Hallelujah. I have met people who think they already know everything that there is to know. What a sad existence. God, breathe on us today. God, breathe on us today. Rain down in this house. Fill me with your wisdom. Fill me with your understanding. Fill me with your knowledge, oh God. Cause me, God, to hear your word. Pray the prayer overtly and then pray in the Holy Ghost. Cry out for wisdom. Cry out for understanding. Search for it as for silver. Search for it as for hidden treasure.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm not-